ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम 9th canto, chapter 4, text 27. Gruhe sudare susute subandusu Dipo tamashandana vajivastusu Akshaya Ratna Varanam Varadisu Anantakosi Akaroda Sanmatim Grihesu in the homes, Daresu in wives, Sutesu in children, Bandusu in friends and relatives, Deepad Uttama in the best of powerful elephants, Shandana in nice chariots, Vaji in first class horses, Vastusu in all such things, Akshaya whose value never decreases, Ratna in jewels, Abharana in ornaments, Ambara Adisu in such dresses and ornaments, Anantakosesu in an inexhaustible treasury, Akarot accepted, Asatmatim no attachment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you. Maharaj Ambarish gave up all attachment to household affairs, wives, children, friends and relatives, to the best of powerful elephants, to beautiful chariots, carts, horses and inexhaustible jewels, and to ornaments, garments, and an inexhaustible treasury. He gave up attachment to all of them, regarding them as temporary and material. Purport. Anasaktaksya vishyan yatharham upayunjata. Material possessions can be accepted as far as they can be used in devotional service. Anukulyena Krishnanusilanam Anukulasya Sankalpa Pratikulasya Varjanam. In preaching, many things considered material are needed. A devotee should not have any attachment for such material involvements as house, wife, children, friends and cars. Maharaj Ambarish, for example, had all such things, but he was not attached to them. This is the effect of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Paresana Bhavo Viraktir Ayantaracha. Bhagavatam 11:42. One who is advanced in devotional service has no attachment for material things for sense enjoyment, but for preaching, to spread the glories of the Lord. He accepts such things without attachment. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatharham Upayunjataha. Everything can be used to the extent that it can be engaged in Krishna's service. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prashyata Desatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we are following what's called Yukta Vairagya Uchyate. What is it? Yukta Vairagya Uchyate, right. See, generally when you talk about detachment and renunciation, like recently I was in Delhi and I was preaching, and then somebody asked me a question that renunciation is not possible when you are young. Detachment is not possible when you are young. So I asked a simple question in return, instead of answering the question, that what do you mean by renunciation? People have a lot of misunderstanding. They think that when the temple president says you have to renounce, that means you go to the nearest forest and then you have to stay in the forest. Eat some leaves, eat some leaves, and he's saying Vrindavan forest. We're very fortunate he's sending us to the Vrindavan forest, and then you have to eat leaves and meditate on Krishna until Krishna some other picks you up. So this is a misunderstanding, misconception a lot of people have in the world even today. And that's why preaching is their sense. It is necessary that we go out and preach. So when I explained to them that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that it's Yukta Vairagya Uchyate, that means that you can be in your position wherever you are, but you connect everything to Krishna. You must connect everything to Krishna. Here, Maharaj Ambarish, he has all the opulences in the three worlds that you could imagine of. He had literally everything that, and this. It's been explained here that he's detaching from all the household affairs. He's disconnecting from his wife, he's disconnecting from children, from friends, from relatives. And then he's talking about his powerful elephants. In those days they didn't have the bullets, huh? So they were talking about powerful elephants and chariots and carts and horses. These were the opulences of the time. How is it that Maharaj Ambarish is able to renounce? How is it that he is not getting attached to it? What is it that is helping him to become renounced? When you have so much opulence, just think, there is so much unlimited opulence, and what is it that helps you to renounce? He understands that when Krishna says Aham Bija Pradapita, that he is the source of everything, he understands that every opulence, every item, everything that he has belongs to Krishna. Even the population that he is the king of belongs to whom? To Krishna. So when he has that understanding, and beyond that, he has another very important understanding that all the opulences that I have, they are temporary. They will diminish. They will go. Either the time factor will eat it all away, or death will come suddenly and everything will be gone. Today I am the king and tomorrow I am nobody. But the higher principle that he understood was that everything belongs to Krishna. Because he understood that everything is belonging to Krishna, then he put himself in a position of a caretaker. He became the caretaker. That I have to serve everyone in my kingdom equally, nicely, devotionally, and to the best of my ability. And that didn't only include human beings, but it included animals. It also included plants. He was making sure the plants were being nurtured very nicely. That the animals were being taken care of very nicely. And that the population was living very genuinely and very nicely. When Durvasa Muni comes to him, he's a yogi and he's approaching his kingdom, He doesn't need an appointment. Because Ambarish Maharaj was so advanced, he could understand that when a sadhu comes, regardless of what his mentality is, if sadhu comes, you should welcome him, you know. Like when you go to see the CM, you have to take appointment, right? And then you have to wait outside. CM doesn't come to receive us. This is Kali Yuga, that's why it's like that. But in the proper Vedic times, if a king heard that a sadhu is coming, he would immediately walk off from his throne and go out to the doorstep to receive the sadhu. He would pay obeisances. That's what Ambarish Maharaj did when Durvasa Muni came. He understood the science of Vedic culture and he took it very seriously. And because he was like that, he was able to renounce everything. Now how is it possible? Was it that he became a king, then overnight he became a devotee and then he started practicing? No, because his father, King Nabad, was very pious. He had performed austerities, he had performed yagyas. And because of the yagyas and the austerities and the tapasya he had performed, he trained his child from childhood. Like Prahlad Maharaj is saying that you have to start, devotional service starts at what age? 5 or 50? 5, right? When you go outside preaching, they'll say, Baba, I'm still very young. When I get old, I will chant the holy name, right? So, Ambarish Maharaj was trained so much so that one time he was churning, he was making atta, he was making flour. You know, he was always engaged. The quality of Ambarish Maharaj was that he was always engaged from childhood in engaging all his senses. His eyes were always engaged in taking darshan of the deities, you know, taking darshan of the temples, you know. His hands were engaged in serving the devotees, you know. His legs were engaged in going to the places of pilgrimage. No? He didn't stay in one place, he went to places of pilgrimage. He was always engaging all his senses. It is said that he was so much so engaged in his senses that the ultimate sense is the mind. The mind is the one that is being controlled by the senses, but the mind was controlling the senses so much so that his mind was so much focused on Krishna. His mind was absolutely focused on Krishna that it was not difficult at all for him to renounce all these things. You know? Renunciation doesn't come by chance, renunciation doesn't come by force, renunciation doesn't have to be forced upon us by the authorities. Renunciation is a natural part of our Krishna consciousness, that as we surrender to Krishna, then we learn to engage our senses in Krishna consciousness. And as we engage our senses in Krishna consciousness, then naturally a lot of attachment that we have, that this is my car, this is my office, this is my bike, this is my zone, this is all these things will fall into place and you start seeing that this is Krishna's chariot. Like Prabhupada said that all our cars have to be treated like Lord Jagannath's chariot. And therefore we must keep them clean. He must maintain them and we must utilize them very nicely. You know, utility is the principle. So that's how Prabhupada emphasized that we must see everything as part and parcel of Krishna. Ultimately everything is his property. Even Virar is his property. You know? So Ambarish Maharaj was in this way very much engaged. One time so much so that he was churning the chakki, you know, the grinding thing. And his back is beginning to sweat because he's really busy, he's engaged himself, right? From childhood, he was a teenager, he was grinding. And then when his back is starting beginning to sweat, the Supreme Lord says, wow, this is my dear devotee, seeing a pure devotee, that he's doing so much service to me and his back is sweating. So the Lord comes with a chamara, you know? Like every morning we go in front of Prabhupada and we're offering the chamaras. The pujaris are offering the chamaras. So Lord is offering chamara. Let's see. You know? Why? Because he sees the devotion. The devotee is so much absorbed that everything is connected to Krishna. So much so that he embeds Krishna in his heart. That Krishna is in the core of his heart. Nothing else matters. And that's what Durvasa Muni hears from Lord Vishnu himself. That look, I cannot pardon you. You know, Durvasa Muni is like, he's an expert sportsman. He's going from one planet to another. You know, finally, when he comes to Lord Vishnu, he's saying, I cannot help you. Why? Because I survive, I subsist on the love of my devotion, of my devotees, because their devotion is so intense that they embed me in their hearts, they are in the core of my hearts, and therefore they are also in the core of my heart. So now when you offend my devotee, you are piercing an arrow into my heart. He said, if you come and attack me and you hit my hand, it's different. But when you hurt my devotees, when you offend my devotees, then you are piercing my heart, which is very painful for me. And I cannot tolerate that. No? When he was churning, Amrish Maharaj was churning and he's sweating, and then the Lord is fanning him. And then because the Lord's body is all opulent, such nice fragrance is coming from his tilak, from his body. And suddenly Amrish is realizing, Amrish Maharaj is, he was not Maharaj at the time, he was a prince. Prince Amrish is realizing that, wow, this is extraordinary. He turns around and looks back and he sees the Lord is personally fanning him. And he's saying, my dear Lord, what are you doing? And the Lord is saying, continue churning, keep making your atta, don't stop, because I'm enjoying this lila. No? This is a relationship between the Supreme Lord and His sincere devotees. This is what we want to endeavor. This is what we want to try and achieve. That how can I serve the Lord so sincerely without any attachment, without any desires, that I just want to serve the Lord so nicely that the Lord becomes very pleased. Whatever I do, the Lord becomes pleased with me. If you are a pujari, do your service so nicely and so intensively. Now, if you are preaching out, do the preaching so nicely. No? Give Krishna to everyone, sincerely, with love and devotion, dedication. No? This is the example or the lesson we can learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, especially from Amrish Maharaj, that he was so sincerely serving, that the Lord was coming again and again to save him. Can you imagine that Durvasa Muni is there, and he's upset, he's so upset over a little thing. Can you imagine that if I drink a little water and you get upset with me, or you drink a little water before I come to you and I get upset with you? That's the situation. He is Amrish Maharaj, has fasted for a whole year. Then he goes to the bank of Yamuna in Madhuvan forest, and for 3 days he's continuing his fast and he wants to break his fast. On the day of breaking his fast, first of all, he is worshipping the deities very nicely. Example, by example, he's a king. He's showing by example how to break a fast. Now, if after every Ekadasi, if he had to do this, just imagine where we would stand. That you have to worship the deities first, then arrange so that you can serve all the devotees very nicely. You serve the prasadam. And when everyone has taken part, taken the prasadam, then only you will take prasadam. This was the greatest example being set by the king. And not just one day for Ekadasi, 1 year plus 3 days. And then comes Durvasa Muni. He's just about to take his prasadam, Durvasa Muni comes in and he bows down to him, he welcomes him and tells him, please come and sit and take some prasadam, I want to serve you. And Durvasa says, yes, I want to eat, but I want to go and take a bath. So he wants to take a bath. And then he is taking bath and he is taking forever and ever, because he goes into another trance. And his Amrish Maharaj is waiting and waiting and waiting. How many of us could do that? Wait and wait and wait, because we are going to serve the last devotee who has just turned up out of the blue. And then when he turns up, now when he drinks water, he doesn't just say, well, this is a Vedic principle, I can take the water. So it's like breaking a fast and not breaking a fast, you know, achinta bheda bheda tattva. And Durvasa Muni, when he realizes this, he's getting very angry, but he doesn't know that Ambarish Maharaj actually first consulted his priests, all the sadhus that were serving in the kingdom. He called upon them and said, look, he is a sage, he is my Atithigan, and I have to wait for him, but at the same time the time is passing. If I don't break the fast, then you know, when we give breakfast time on the day after Ekadasi, this is how seriously it should be taken. Not that, so I fasted yesterday, now I got up at 4, I need to eat, I break my fast and then I'll go to Mangala Arati, you know. Not like that. There is a meaning behind it. There is seriousness why we should follow, you know. It's discipline. We have to discipline ourselves. And then Durvasa is getting so angry, you know. Now see, the situation is that he gets so angry that he pulls out. His hair is not just simple like maybe mine or some of us, that he pulls the hair out. He's got matted locks and he has to pull her hair out and bingo on the floor with some mantras. Right? And not just some mantras. The mantras are so powerful that a fiery demon comes out of it. Just imagine the scene, a fiery demon, you know. It's a demon, it's blazing with fire. It is said that this demon was so dangerous that he could annihilate the entire universe. But when Ambarish Maharaj was chanting this and this Leela is coming to an end, the Lord gives him blessings. That from now on, my Sudarshan Chakra will always protect you. It wasn't that the Sudarshan Chakra just turned up by chance in the moment. He had that blessings that you will always be protected by my Sudarshan Chakra. And therefore when the fiery demon came, the Sudarshan Chakra immediately appeared. Now look at this Sudarshan Chakra, it's also fiery. No? When we have fire outside, how many firemen go out with another hose pipe from where the fire is coming out to put out the fire? This is the power of Krishna. He is showing that he is not conditioned like we are, that to put out the fire we have to get a bucket of water and a blanket and something else, something else. He can put fire against fire and put the fire out and the demon immediately turned into ashes. And then we know the pastime that Durvasa is running, is going to the bottom of the sea. He's thinking that if I ride on the bottom of the sea, then the fire will not burn me. He goes right to the bottom of the ocean and he's feeling the heat. He's feeling the heat and he's thinking, oh my God, this guy is still following me. He's going to Lord Brahma. He says, no, I can't do anything, because just if simply Krishna moves his eyebrow just a little bit, he can annihilate the entire universe, including Brahma Loka. So I'm not taking a chance with you. Right? So ultimately, you know, he comes down and he bows down to Ambarish Maharaj. Why? Because this is the power of a devotee. Devotee is completely connected to Krishna. He doesn't think that anything belongs to me. When he is being attacked by a demon, he's standing there. He's not running away. But see, when Durvasa has been attacked by a Sudarshan Chakra, he's running all over the universe. If Durvasa Muni had to enter the Kali Yuga Olympics, he would win practically every medal in the competition, right? He was that powerful, right? He would make Guinness Book of Records and break the entire record system. The Russians, the Americans, the Indians, everyone would be left behind. So that was Durvasa Muni. And then when he comes and bows down, just look at the humility of Ambarish Maharaj. It takes by earthly time 1 year for Durvasa Muni to do his Brahman all the way to Vishnu Loka and back, and Ambarish Maharaj is simply waiting. He had already fasted 1 year, he is fasting another year, simply waiting for Durvasa Muni to come back so he can serve him Prasadam. And then he is coming and begging forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj says, no. He said, ask for a boon. You are such a great devotee. Ask for a boon. Anything you want, I'll give you. Did you know what he asked for? He said, my dear sage, my dear Lord, please be seated and give me an opportunity to serve you so I can feed you. You came to take prasadam in my kingdom. No? You see, after years of suffering, standing there, performing tapasya, that is humility. You know, in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 8, the first principle Prabhupada talks about is humility. And he is giving the explanation of humility. What is the meaning of humility? That one should not desire to be honored in any way. No? We should not desire that we should be honored. And if somebody is honoring us, we should not let it hit us and hit our false ego. No? So this is an example that Amrish Maharaj said, that there was such a big honor for him in one way, that the person who was trying to kill him and is going to all the greatest of the demigods, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, and then is coming back and begging forgiveness. You know, nobody was ready to help him. And yet, Amrish Maharaj shows the principle of humility, that please kindly allow me to serve you. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very nice purport in the 11th canto to the joy of devotion. He says something very nice. He says, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the path of bhakti yoga is so joyful and practical that even in the stage of sadhana bhakti, in which one follows rules and regulations without any advanced understanding, one can perceive the ultimate result as stated by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-187. Iha yasya hare dasye karmana manasa gira nikhilasu api avasthasu jivan muktasu uchyate. As soon as one surrenders to the Supreme Lord Krishna, this is Rupa Goswami giving translation, giving up all other activities, viraktir anyantracha, virakti means detachment, one is immediately to be considered a liberated soul, jivan mukta. The Supreme Lord Krishna is so merciful that when a living entity understands that the personality Krishna is the source of everything and surrenders to Lord, Krishna personally takes charge. Rupa Goswami said, when you take this step, when you take one step, naturally it's like you're coming to the temple, you take one step, the other step will follow until you get to take the darshan. So this is in a similar way, that when you take one step to surrender to Krishna, other steps will follow. And ultimately, Krishna will say, I am now taking charge of you. Like he took charge of Amrish Maharaj right from childhood. Krishna personally takes charge of him and reveals to him within his heart that he is under the Lord's full protection. Thus, devotion, direct experience of the personality of Godhead, and detachment from other objects become manifest even in the beginning stage of Bhakti Yoga. Since Bhakti Yoga begins at the point of liberation, other processes have is the final goal, salvation or liberation. But according to Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharmam Paritaja Mamekam Saranam Raja Aham Tam Sarva Papevyo Moksha Ishyami Mahasucha. Krishna is saying Moksha Ishyami Mahasucha. By Amrish's example, we can understand. You know, by studying the biography of Srila Prabhupada and going through the history of Srila Prabhupada, when he was single-handedly endeavoring to follow the instructions of a spiritual master, see how much tapasya he performed. Here you see tapasya performed by Amrish Maharaj standing for 2 years. Here you see Srila Prabhupada performing tapasya in our day and age. And we see how he goes through so many challenges. But he never gives up, because he had the same principle of understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. He was completely surrendered. When his wife threw away his translation that he was doing, and he came and asked her, where is my paperwork? And she said, oh, I sold it to Kabadiwala so I could buy some tea. No? Prabhupada immediately said, okay, you want tea or me? Right? It didn't take him a minute more. He just walked away, because he knew that he had to continue his mission. And he performed so much tapasya. After two heart attacks, he still was preaching. We have one heart attack and then we go to so many different kinds of doctors and scientists and so much medication, and you know, we try to keep the heart pumping. Prabhupada got the best medicine, he went to the best medical doctor. He said, Radha Shyam Sundar, whatever you want, you do with me. Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. No? And the same night he got his response. Because he had faith in Krishna, he was able to pray to Krishna like that. Because he understood that everything, just like Amrish Maharaj, everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore Amrish Maharaj was able to detach from everything. Prabhupada was also detached. He showed by example, by principle, you know. It's a living example for us. No? So the basic principle is to understand that everything belongs to Krishna. The basic principle is that everything we do, you know, should be in service to Krishna. We should see ourselves as caretaker of everything that Krishna has given us. Whatever Krishna has given us is given to us. If somebody else has a little bit more and I have a little bit less, I should not envy, because envy is my biggest enemy. No? It's my biggest enemy is my envy. But my best friend is my understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. That if I really, sincerely, you know, surrender everything to Krishna and I embed Krishna in the core of my heart, guess what? I also get a chance to be in Krishna's heart. And then I'm always with Krishna. So don't miss out on this opportunity of being with Krishna and having Krishna in your heart. No? That is true love. It's eternal love. No? Thank you so much. Any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Speak about Jiva Leela, Jagat Maharaj, Ambarish, renounced everything. And sometimes you see yogis portrayed that you're offering them some, I don't want anything. The Prabhupada said, give, I will use it for Krishna's service. So nowadays we see in modern society everyone has a smartphone or a stupid phone, whatever. And we have, everyone wants a car, everyone wants a nice place. We're using it in Krishna's service, but as soon as the Goswami, Sanatana, and Rupa, they have full opulence, but they wouldn't even keep a blanket. So where do we draw the line as to our Yukta Vairagya renunciation concerning utilizing material objects in Krishna's service, or does it make us feel good?
Wow, very nice question. Yukta Vairagya Uchyate. So, just like Prabhuji gave example of the Goswamis, we look at the gurus in parampara. No? Look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then you see God Kishodas Babaji Maharaj, then you see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, and then you see Prabhupada. Time, place and circumstances. You see, God Kishodas Babaji Maharaj was not into cars and helicopters and everything. He just went into a jungle because that was his bhav and he was connecting to Krishna. No? On the contrary, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's bhava was that I want to give this science to the world. Because his father told him that one person is going to come, he's going to take this holy name all over the world, and it's kind of your duty. You make sure that, you know, he gets your mercy. Look at this, another example. Sukhdev Goswami is glorifying Amrish Maharaj, right? Sukhdev Goswami is very advanced and Amrish Maharaj is very advanced. They have the sameness, at the same time they are opposite. How are they opposite? One is a monk, he is completely renounced. He is so renounced and so dedicated to Krishna and glorifying Krishna and Bhagavad Katha pastimes that he doesn't even care about his body, he doesn't even wear any clothes. You know, he's not conscious that I have a body and this. He's just so completely sublimely connected to Krishna. And exactly the opposite, Amrish Maharaj, he's got all the opulences. But he's also on the same platform as Sukhdev Goswami, that he understands that everything is connected to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. And if I surrender to Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate with me with so much love that all these temporary things will go away. But Krishna will be there eternally. So Time, place, circumstances, you know, every devotee is different. Somebody is pujari, somebody is preacher, somebody is something else. Whatever their bhava is where Krishna will put us. It's not by chance that one becomes a preacher, one by chance one becomes a pujari, or by chance one becomes a security officer. Krishna selects, he knows where you are at, and he will put you in certain positions whereby, you know, you execute your services. And do the services sincerely, please. Don't just do it as a showpiece. The more sincerely you do it, the more realizations you'll get. That helps?
I don't renounce my bike.
Well, you have to engage, you're engaging in the service of Krishna. So. Yes, Putna was also serving Krishna. She came to give him poison, but you know, he blessed her. Krishna is very merciful. Just you have to make a serious, one-pointed approach. It's just like when you're drilling a hole in the wall, you have one-pointed. You don't look everywhere else and you keep drilling, you know, because you know you don't want to get hurt. So when you become very one-pointed, either serving Krishna or attacking Krishna, Krishna is very kind. He'll bless you one way or another. Hare Krishna.
This is something writing the subject. But some of the devotees from Vrindavan, he went to Calcutta. And he went to the place where Prabhupada was staying. And she says, it's like a garbage. But I'm just looking, we are not enjoying Prabhupada's property. Prabhupada's temple is so fabulously. Why don't we see where Prabhupada was born, where Prabhupada prayed, where Prabhupada did anything? Why don't we just go and see that place and just maintain it properly? She was crying. She's in Calcutta yesterday, I talked to her. And she was crying. And I was felt so bad about that. Thank you. If you do something resident and all the people, if you can do so far, something to Calcutta.
Thank you for bringing it to our attention, and we will look into it. But at the same time, you have to understand this Kali Yuga. Around every corner, whether it's in Vrindavan, Delhi, Honolulu, Washington, around every corner, Maya is very active. And when certain challenges comes, Krishna is also testing the devotees to see that under time, place and circumstances, where you are at. Are you able to serve Krishna in that situation? No? And we have to depend upon Krishna. If we depend upon Krishna, then Krishna will help us. Even as the managers, Krishna helps us to make arrangements. And then we can take care of things.
First, we have to see the Guru, isn't it?
First, you
have to? We have to see the Guru and follow the Guru. But Guru has given us so much. Why can't we just serve?
We are all here to serve Krishna, but Prabhupada is also saying that we have all come here because we committed some sinful activities. So, therefore, we have to rectify ourselves before we can help everyone else. It's just like when you're sitting in a plane with the oxygen problem, then they say first put the mask on yourself before you put it on others. So you have to be prepared. If you're not prepared and you try and do everything else, there's a list of instructions for everyone to follow. Therefore, according to time, place and circumstances and your bow, Krishna arranges for you to be involved in specific, you know, zone so that you can actually help and do that devotional service. Amrish Maharaj was exceptional. Yudhishthir Maharaj was exceptional. Prahlad Maharaj is exceptional. They are not just ordinary jivas. You know, they come and they are able to do so many things. We have to see our limitations and we have to see how best we can engage the limitations and the sakti that we have according to time, place and circumstances. And we also have to understand this Kali Yuga. So many things are going to go wrong. And things, as time progresses, things are going to become more degraded. So first thing Prabhupada is saying is save yourself. One person asked Prabhupada that how many lifetimes before I come back to Godhead, how many lifetimes I have to chant? And Prabhupada says, 1 minute. Do you want to chant? Do you want to connect to Krishna? You know? So we have to take his principles of practices very seriously. If we do that, then that will help us. So Mataji, the way things work is that we have to do our best, right? Everyone cannot be Prabhupada, but everyone can try and follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada. And according to our ability, you know, we may have a dream that overnight we want to turn Vrindavan into the original Vrindavan, that Krishna was here. Just like Brajranath, who was grandson of Krishna, he was crying in Dwarka that why I wasn't here when Krishna was here. But there was time, place and circumstances, and Krishna had brought him into this world to perform certain leelas. If Krishna wanted, he could have brought Brajranath here when he was here. So it's, everything is under the control of Krishna. Unless we understand that, our mind will flicker so much, why not this and why not that. And sometimes it's very easy to say why not this and why not that. But if we endeavor to fulfill that particular why not by ourselves, then we will realize that why not is easy to say, but why not is not so easy to execute. And it's everything is the mercy of Krishna, is the mercy of the Guru. So we can't just say why you're not doing this and why you're not doing this. Ask yourself, what am I doing to help? Right? Look at the devotees who are working 14, 15 hours a day, running around sincerely and trying to maintain this temple after 50 years with 700 devotees involved and still maintaining and expanding and doing so many wonderful things. Look at the list of so many wonderful things that are going on, you know, and then look at a few things that you feel this is why not and that's why not, and then fill yourself in and see what you can do to help. Unless you surrender yourself, unless you come forward and you bring other people forward, then some of the why nots may not be fulfilled. Everyone has limitations. Yes, sir.
From the story of Ambarish, it looks like he was already renounced, because he was renounced right from the beginning. Now, was there something which he thought that by leaving all the worldly things, he would serve Krishna better, rather than, you know, being there and using the material awfulness or whatever to serve Krishna better? I mean, it gives us a feeling that he was renounced, that's why he left everything material. But he was already renounced. So what was the purpose behind he showing us that by giving this, I'm renounced?
He's just setting a wonderful example for you and me to follow. That first of all, step by step, become a pure devotee. Right? And then when you become a pure devotee, by example, you exhibit your pastimes, whatever Krishna wants you to. And when the time comes, you renounce and you go back, come back to Godhead, because this is not a place for a gentleman. Prabhupada said this is not a place for a gentleman. It means it's not a place where you're going to stay eternally. Even if you want to, you won't be able to. Right? You can in different bodies, right? But you don't want to be. Any intelligent common sense will tell us that, look, let's get out of here. Yeah? Prabhupada told one devotee also, he said, Prabhupada, I don't mind coming back to serve life after life and distributing books. And Prabhupada said, no, don't do that. You know why? He said, I don't want to come back to this place just to bring you back home. Understand? So follow you. That's why you have to renounce. Ultimately, you have to renounce. Even if you are totally renounced, but by example, you must do it. No? Make sense? Thank you. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Yeah.